In the name of the Trinity, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you afraid of ghosts? You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Ghost. However, the name Holy Ghost is considered archaic now. At one time, the term ghost referred to the immaterial part of a person, kind of a synonym for the soul. The English language evolved and changed over time, and ghost came to mean a disembodied spirit, usually a malevolent spirit, Casper the Friendly Ghost notwithstanding. So while there is absolutely nothing wrong with referring to the third person of the Trinity as the Holy Ghost, usually today we use the name Holy Spirit. Of course, poets and hymn writers liked the name Holy Ghost because a host of words rhyme with ghost, host and most, for instance. But I can't think of any English words that rhyme with spirit. The current English translation of Martin Luther's A Mighty Fortress stretches a bit to make fear it rhyme with spirit, but my high school English teacher would have had none of that. Regardless, many Christians, especially Lutheran Christians, seem as if they are afraid of the Holy Spirit. On the whole, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit very much. Rarely is the Holy Spirit a subject of a Sunday school lesson or a Sunday sermon. Many Lutherans don't know enough about the Holy Spirit to be comfortable with the Spirit, and that's not spiritually healthy. We need not fear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our friend and our helper. So on this Pentecost, we'll spend a little bit of time thinking together about the Holy Spirit and how he is active in our lives and in the church. Each week, we confess belief in the Holy Spirit. We could conceivably confess belief in the Spirit, with a capital S, but in the creeds and holy scriptures, the adjective holy is used to describe the noun spirit. Why are they so specific about the spirit being holy? One reason is that all spirits are not holy. In the creeds, we confess that God is the creator of all things, both seen and unseen. There is an unseen spiritual reality all around us. Often today, people will tell you that they are spiritual, but not religious. We might sympathize with their disdain for so-called organized religion with all of its problems. I always tell people, I don't belong to an organized religion. I'm a Lutheran. But not everything that is spiritual is necessarily holy or even good. There are malevolent spirits and bad spirituality. Some people pass off the biblical witness to the existence of demons and other evil spirits as merely being the misunderstanding of pre-scientific people. We would counter that all the evil in our world is more than enough evidence that there are spiritual forces at work in our world that are opposed to God's reign, and that is what Scripture tells us. The evil that we see in our world is due to more than a simple lack of goodness or knowledge. Central to our faith is that Jesus, by his cross, defeated the spiritual powers of sin, death, and the devil. So the Holy Spirit is called holy to set him apart from all other spirits. But what is a spirit? Earlier, I described our spirits as the immaterial portion of our being. We have bodies, but we are more than just a bag of biochemicals walking around. There is something that about us that transcends our physical functions and limitations. Our minds are more than just our brains. What other animal possesses self-consciousness and can contemplate itself and its relationship to its creator except for human beings? It is our spirit that makes us unique. We might use this analogy to describe it. By itself, a glove is lifeless. But put a hand into that glove, and it can move and pick up things and make gestures and whatnot. In a similar way, our body is like a lifeless glove, but we are filled with our spirit, then our bodies become animated and useful. The Holy Spirit is God's spirit active on earth. It is the Holy Spirit that gives life to the church as the whole people of God and as individual Christians. Christ promised his followers that he would not abandon us, that he would not leave us alone after he ascended into heaven. To fulfill that promise, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our companion, our helper, and our guide. The Holy Spirit fills us and continues Christ's ministry on earth by working through people like us, through you and me. Jesus said that it was to our advantage if he went away and that he sent the Spirit to us. He said that we, his followers, would do even greater works than he did, and we would do them in his name. What Jesus said is true, because through the Holy Spirit, the Christian gospel has spread throughout the entire world. It had been limited just to Israel in the first century. Christian believers have been the most powerful force for good in the world throughout all of history. Think of all of the hospitals and nursing homes and orphanages and soup kitchens and so many other things that Christians have done. These things could never have been accomplished by us on our own. It is only the Holy Spirit who makes such things possible for us. While we certainly give all the credit and glory to God the Holy Spirit, we must also acknowledge that we are called by God to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. When it comes to living our lives in this world, when it comes to making choices about ethics and stewardship and service, God respects our free will. The Holy Spirit never forces us to do anything. He never makes us do anything against our will. Just like when someone says, "The devil made me do it," and we know that they really had a choice, so in a similar way, do we have a choice to follow the Holy Spirit where he leads or not? The Holy Spirit offers us his gifts, but we are free to accept them or reject them. The whole idea of spiritual gifts becomes a bit of a hang-up for many people. People are frequently skeptical, and rightly so, about some of the things we see on TV that claim to be Holy Spirit-related. Maybe some of us have had bad experiences with so-called faith healers or charismatic groups or what's known as the signs and wonders movement. No doubt in the early church, speaking in tongues, as we read about in Acts, was the most notable gift of the Holy Spirit. Some people say that the gift of tongues was for that time and place only. Other people say it's for all time. I'm not going to get into that debate this morning, other than to say that the Bible recognizes the gift of tongues in the early church, but it also says that there is a greater gift that we should desire, and that is the gift of love. The Bible calls love the most excellent gift. We may not all speak in tongues. I never have. We may not all have the other gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ability to preach or teach or administer or do other things. We may not all excel in patience or kindness or whatever, but we can all love our neighbors. And by love, we don't mean that you have to have a warm, fuzzy feeling inside for everyone. We love one another by treating one another with forgiveness and kindness and justice and compassion. We can all do those things. The Holy Spirit is urging us to do those very things. And we know it is true because the Holy Spirit is inside of each one of us as baptized believers. The Holy Spirit comes to us in holy baptism. Holy baptism is baptism into Christ. In Christian baptism, ordinary water is combined with the extraordinary word of God, and we become members of the church, which is the body of Christ. Christ, who is the head of the body, fills his members, his body parts, that's us, you and me, with his Holy Spirit so that we can do his will. No doubt the Holy Spirit might be active in our lives before baptism and certainly after baptism. And no doubt some people renounce their faith and reject the benefit of their baptism. But in holy baptism, the Holy Spirit is implanted in us. We do not have to worry whether or not we are spiritual or spiritual enough. We don't have to worry about whether or not we have access to God through the Holy Spirit. We don't have to worry if we need to have some kind of charismatic experience to prove that we're saved. By virtue of what Christ has done for us, we have access to God the Father. We have the Spirit within. What the Holy Spirit does for us is reveal Christ to us. The testimony of Christ is preserved in his word, the Bible. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will take what is his and declare it to us. And he said that the Spirit will lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit doesn't make up anything new. Rather, the Holy Spirit teaches us God's will from God's word. Through the power of the word, the Holy Spirit forms the mind of Christ in us. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. That means that he makes us holy and Christ-like. The Spirit that spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament is speaking to you and me today in the Bible. Nothing for the Christian could be more natural than to hear the Spirit speak to us that way. So, life in the Holy Spirit is not some strange, mystical, magical, psychedelic, esoteric experience. Life in the Holy Spirit is as simple as reading and hearing God's word, living out your faith among God's people, and remembering your baptism. We do not need to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our friend and helper. So let us be open to his guidance on Pentecost Sunday and always. Amen.